In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, open the Scriptures to us today, that we would see what you want us to see, that we would hear what you want us to hear, that we would walk where you want us to walk. I'm looking at the 18th chapter of St. Luke, and it's the 35th verse. "And it came to pass that as Jesus had come near unto Jericho." Now, Jericho is watered by seven streams. It is a lush place. Remember, that's exactly where Israel came in and broke down the walls of Jericho. Jericho is a beautiful city, flowing with milk and honey, so to speak. "So a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging." Well, this was common. When you're blind, you can't work, so you have a little tin cup and you beg for your money. "And hearing the multitude," oh, I can tell you, I've had blind friends, three blind friends that were sisters, and though they could not see, they could hear, and their hearing was very sharp. "And hearing the multitude pass by, the blind man asked, 'What does it all mean?' And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by." Oh my, this man had heard about Jesus. How do I know? Because he cried out saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Oh yes, he had heard about Jesus. Someone had told him about Jesus, about the works of Jesus, about what Jesus had been doing. Someone told him. But you know what? He now knows Jesus is around the corner, so to speak, and he's going to use his voice. He cannot use his eyes, but he's going to use his voice. "And they which went before rebuked him." They told him to shut up, "that he should hold his peace. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.'" He's doing this from the depths of his lungs. "Son of David, have mercy on me." Because he can't see where Jesus is, but maybe Jesus will hear his voice. "And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come very close, Jesus asked him, 'What do you want that I should do for you? What do you want me to do for you?' And he said, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God." I remember praying with a woman who was blind in Arizona. I remember having her eyes opened. I remember her walking to the other end of the room, and I asked her how many fingers I had up as she could see, and how many fingers did I have up as she could see. And when she came back, she said to her husband, "I've been blind, but now I'm seeing. Give me the keys. I want to drive home." My Lord. My Lord. I don't know if the husband gave her the keys, but she could see. Jesus opened her eyes. Oh, yes. I tell you that Jesus is an eye opener. Not only physical eyes, but spiritual eyes. Is Jesus opening your spiritual eyes today? Do you want him to open your physical eyes today? I'm praying for one of the people who comes to our church whose eyes bleed. Her name is May. Lord Jesus, we all join together and we ask you to heal those eyes, that she would see more, that she would see more, that she would see more, that she would see more. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." Who's following him? The blind man that could see. And he went through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was chief among the tax collectors, and he was very rich. And he sought to see Jesus, and he sought to see who he was. He could not see that for the crowd, because he was short in stature. He was a little guy. So what does he do? So he ran before Jesus and climbed up a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was going to pass by that way. I'm telling you, this is what happens when you really want to see Jesus. This is what happens when you really want to see Jesus. You go out of your way, you climb a sycamore tree so that you can see Jesus. You know, we don't even want to read the scriptures, never mind study them, never mind read them. But you see, God goes to those who hunger after him. Jesus goes to those who hunger after him. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw Zacchaeus and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down from the sycamore tree, for today I must go into your house. Oh my. Remember, he was very rich, and he was a publican. That means he was a tax collector, and he was hated because he worked for Rome. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Oh, Zacchaeus has got the best guest in his house. His name is Jesus. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was going in to be the guest of a man that was a sinner, a tax collector. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day salvation has come to this house, forasmuch he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. I'm telling you, that's who Jesus has come to seek and save the lost. And he knew Zacchaeus before he met Jesus was lost. Well, before I met Jesus, I was lost too. Didn't know it. Went to church, but I was lost. I didn't know him personally, but I was lost. Oh, but that day in August when the Lord opened my heart to the power of the Holy Spirit, I was no longer lost. I was found. And I needed him. I knew how much I needed him that day. And I know today, so many years later, I need him just as much, if not more. Oh, often I pray to Jesus when I'm sitting in front of the tabernacle. Jesus, it seems like my heart is far from you. Please bring my heart to you. I love you, Jesus. I can only pray prayers like that. I love you, Jesus. Bring my heart to you. I don't want it to be far from you. You see, Zacchaeus, this is interesting because we remember the rich young man. Remember him. Jesus told him to sell all of his goods and give it to the poor and then follow him. But to Zacchaeus, he doesn't say that. Zacchaeus is doing a good job. He gives half of his money to the poor, and if he's defrauded anyone, he makes it up four times. Zacchaeus' heart was not in his money. So Jesus didn't need to tell Zacchaeus to sell everything and give it to the poor. The rich young man, his heart was in his money. That's real. That is absolutely real. And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable. Because he was near Jerusalem. How do you get up to Jerusalem? You walk up. Who do you think is following him? The man that was blind and now he sees. And because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom to return. And what's happened? And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But the citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, We will not have this man, reign over us. Do you want Jesus to reign over you today? Oh, yes, Jesus. Reign over Father Tom today. Reign over Tom today. I want you to reign over me. Reign over my life. Reign over my relationships. Reign over my relationship with you. Reign over all my property, all my money. Reign over me today. I want you to reign over me today. I don't want to be like the people who did not want you to reign over them. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded his servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. You see, God has given all of us gifts, and some of us use those gifts. Some of us bury those gifts. Jesus is telling you today, are you using the gifts I've given you? You say, I don't have any gift. You can write a note to someone who's sick. You can pray for someone who's sick. You can call them on the telephone today as someone who's not very much liked. You can do that today. I have a beautiful lady that calls me every day, and we pray. And we pray simple little prayers, and she repeats after me, Jesus, I love you. And she repeats, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, strengthen me. Jesus, strengthen me. Oh, yes. She calls every single day that we would pray together. She is an older person, and she wants to, she's close to Jesus. She knows the Word of God. She's wonderful. And it came to pass when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded the servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, and that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. In other words, God wants us to use what we have, and he wants it to multiply. Oh yes, God is into multiplication. He is not into division. He is into multiplication. He is not into division. Then came the first, saying, Lord, with thy pound I've gained 10 pounds. Wow, 10 times what I got. And he said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful over a little, you see, money is a little, you will have authority over 10 cities. Oh yes, how we use our money is very important. And second came, saying, Lord, your pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou over 5 cities. You see, when you use your money right, I tell you, God gives you people to rule over, and I don't mean rule over, I mean to take care of. Yes, to take care of. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is your pound, which I have kept laid in a napkin. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You take up where you didn't lay down. You reap where you didn't sow. And he said unto him, out of your own mouth will I judge you, you wicked, slothful servant. You knew that I was an austere man, taking up where I did not lay down, and reaping where I did not sow. Wherefore, then, you didn't give the money to the bankers, and my coming back I would require the interest. And he said unto him, unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to the one that has 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he has already 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that everyone who has shall be given, and him that has not, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. But those enemies of mine which not let me rule over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Oh yes, Jesus, reign over us. Jesus, reign over our hearts. Jesus, reign over our lives. Jesus, reign over our families. Jesus, reign over our property. Jesus, reign over our money. You see, the Lord's looking for an increase. He's looking for an increase. He's not looking that you give him what he gave you. He wants you to use that money. I can tell you that I am a priest, and there are several people, because of my witness in the Holy Spirit, always in the Holy Spirit, they too have seen my witness, and they have become priests, and they are doing better work than I'm doing. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I have multiplied the gifts that God has given me. It is not me that does it. It is the Holy Spirit. I remember being on the radio one day talking about a vocation that people that were being called to the priesthood. And this young man heard me and knew it was for him. And he is now part of the Franciscan Order of the New Observance, the Little Observance. In other words, the ancient order of St. Francis. They don't have telephones. They don't use money. They follow God. They celebrate the Eucharist. They hear confessions. And I tell you, he heard me that day. I just found this out recently. And he said, this man is speaking to me today. That's wonderful. Isn't that wonderful that God let me know? Isn't that wonderful? Because I didn't know this happened. I didn't know this happened, but it did happen. It happened because the Lord made it happen. It's as simple as that. The Lord made it happen. It had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? The only thing I can do is do what I do. There are people out there that God is calling to be priests and deacons, and you have not followed the way of the Lord. You're running away. I remember once when I was invited to do a communion breakfast at a church. I was a lay person. They couldn't get a priest, so they got me. So I remember doing that communion breakfast, gave the talk, and there was a blind man there, and he says, would you drive me home? So I drove him home. He says, come into my house. So I went into his house, and he said, the Lord is telling me that he's calling you to be a priest, and you're saying no. You're kicking against the goad. Well, I got so scared. I said, how do you know? He said, because the Lord called me to be a priest, and I said no. And he's got that call on your life, and you need to respond. Well, I remember going home, going through the tunnel in East Boston, and then eating more pasta than I've ever eaten, and I ate so fast. But you see, that seed was planted in me. I knew God was calling me. I knew he was calling me to be a priest until forever, forever. And you see, it was that blind man who knew the word of God, because he had said no to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had said no to the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you saying today to the Lord Jesus Christ? How are you responding today to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you saying to him, rule over me, rule over my children, rule over my brother, rule over my family, rule over everything I am and all that I have? Always remember that Jesus has come to seek and save that which was lost. Zacchaeus, he called him by name. He didn't call him by numbers. Everything is a number. Give me the last four numbers of your social security number. Oh, please. Nothing is done by name anymore. It's all done by number. It's all done by number. Give me the number of the year that you were born. And it's so foolish, dude. They don't call people by name. They call people by number. Jesus did not say to Zacchaeus, 784-899, coming out from that sycamore tree. He said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to have dinner with you today. Oh, yes, he came to seek and save that which was lost. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he still comes to seek and save those that are lost. Are you lost today? The best thing about being lost, my friend, is being found. It's being found, saying, Jesus, find me. Jesus, save me. Jesus, anoint me. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. The best thing about being lost is being found. There's nothing good about being lost. And you say, what if he sends me to Africa? That's what I used to be afraid of. I said, what if he sends me to Africa? And then someone said to me, before he sends you to Africa, he'll put Africa in your heart so you won't destroy the people. I knew that was true. I knew that was true. And you know what? I've not gone to Africa, but I've gone to Europe, and I've preached the gospel there in Poland. I've preached the gospel there in California. I preached the gospel there in many places in the United States. But he places those places in my heart before he places me to go there. You see, Jesus knows how to do things. He's the Lord. He's been doing things from all eternity. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you're salvageable through the blood of the Lamb? Yes, it's all about the blood. Because of the blood of Jesus, you are salvageable. God loves you so much that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in Jesus might have eternal life. God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Do you know that today? That he sent his Son to the world to save the world, that the world might be saved through him. 28, chapter 19, verse 28. And when he had spoken thus, he went before, and he was going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was near Bethage and Bethany, remember Bethany, where his friends are, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, at the mount called Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, go into the village over against you, in which you are about to enter, and you shall find a colt tied up, whereupon no one has ever sat. Loose him and bring him to me. And if any man asks you, why do you loose him? Say to him, behold, the Lord hath need of it. This is something. Jesus knows there's going to be a colt that's tied up that's never been ridden upon. And I go on, and they that were sent went their way, and they found the colt, even as Jesus said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners therefore said unto them, why are you loosing the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus. I love that. They brought him to Jesus. Oh, yes. We're going to hear in one of these weeks, the Greeks are looking for Jesus. We would see Jesus. And they told Philip, and Philip told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip brought them to Jesus. The Greeks said, we would see Jesus. We want to see Jesus. And Philip and Andrew brought him to Jesus. I'm telling you, brought the Greeks to Jesus. This is reality. This is what the church is all about, bringing people to Jesus and Jesus to people. Yes, and it makes no difference what they've done or how many times they've done it, because Jesus is looking for them. Jesus is looking for you. Do you know it today? Do you know it today that he gave his life for you? And he gave his life for me. Do you know it today that the blood of Jesus speaks more eloquently than your sins? Though your sins be red as scarlet, I will make them white as snow, says the Lord. Though your sins be red as scarlet, I will make them white as snow, says the Lord. Do you believe it today? Do you know it today? Do you know that Jesus is calling you today? Do you know it? Do you know it? Let's pick up the fragments that we've learned today. Very interestingly enough, Jesus healed the blind man in Jericho, as he was near Jericho. And he healed the blind man who used to be a beggar. That's right. We believe that his name was Bartimaeus. Very interestingly enough, That means son of Timaeus. He didn't even have a name, just son of Timaeus. It's Peter bar Jonah. It's Peter, son of John. Oh, we don't have much time to do it, but we're going to look at Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector, and he was the one that Jesus ate with. Jesus called him by name. Let me tell you this today, that Jesus called you by name. He called you by your first name. He loves you. He's got plans for you. He's going to do things in your life. You know, I have plans for you, the Lord says. Plans to give you a future and a hope. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.